Welcome to the Span Report podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Span, and episode 38 of the report. Yeah, man. Hold on. I got to get into this, man. Damn.
We can achieve if we open up to something different.
I'm not trying to lie, say I don't love the way you feel.
When I'm doing my thing, baby.
Cause it feels so good to me.
When it's only a superficial
some real R&B shit right there, man. That's some real R&B shit. And that's my shit there, man. That's Love and Sex Part 2 off of Joe's Double Back Evolution of R&B album, man. I don't know exactly when that shit dropped, but that whole album is hot to me, man. Real talk. So y'all check that out if and when you get a chance, man. Real talk. But yeah, man. Yeah, it's been a couple weeks. It's been a couple weeks since I talked to you guys, man. And I'm glad to be back here on the mic, man. I was on the mic a couple days this week I was a guest on a couple shows, the Dr. Abrasive show with the homie Lonzo Harris Jr. Y'all go check that out, man. Real quick podcast that we put together. Well, I was a guest on, and you know, he asked me a few questions about the podcast, and of course I told him a few questions, you know, the answers for the podcast, man. And also I was on Medium Talk with Rodimus Prime, the homie Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. We sat up, we chopped it up, man, about my job, about gun control. We had a really, really, really good conversation, man. So you guys, if you're on the premium, if you're a premium fan over at the Black Guy Who Tips, man, go ahead and check that episode out, man. We had a really good conversation. It was real fun doing that, man. But yeah, man, before I get into the podcast, man, let me tell you guys how you can get in touch with me here at The Span Report. You can hit me up at thespanreport.com. Now, thespanreport.com has everything you need for The Span Report. All of the podcasts are available there. All of the Span TV videos are available there. You can leave your comments on every episode. You know, sometimes I leave videos there. A lot of the interviews that I've done with people on the show, you know, I try to use the videos for those are on the episodes that I've done those on as well. So if you want to check those videos out of the interviews of Rod and Karen, of Brandon from the Where's My 40 Acres, of the Mr. Gates from the Haterazzi radio show, you can go ahead, check those out over at thespanreport.com. And of course, all of the guest appearances that I've done are also on thespanreport.com. Now, if you want to leave me an email, there's another way you can do that. You can hit me up at thespanpodcast@gmail.com. That's that's thespanpodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Hit me up there. I read your emails here on the show, and I respond to those right here on the show. And leave me a voicemail if you really want to get your voice heard. You can leave me a voicemail at the Span Report hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Chop it up with me, man. We'll chop it up right here on the show. We'll talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. If you agree with me, if you don't, we'll talk about it right here on the show, man. Real talk. But now that I got that out the way, man, let's get into this podcast, man. Now, of course, sometimes I'll talk about something random. Sometimes I'll talk about something that has happened to me recently. And more like, well, tonight I'm going to talk about something that's happened to me recently. More recently was the fact that this is the second time that I'm recording this podcast. Yeah, man. I actually sat up last night, man. I tried to record the Span Report last night, and your boy Span was sauced, man. I had been drinking all day. I had about 5 or 6 Angry Orchard, cinnamon apple, hard ciders. Those are my shit. I like Angry Orchard. I got like the variety pack, but I drank all of the damn cinnamon apple ones. Those are good. And then when I started doing the show, I went to my tried and true, which was the Cavassier Gold. Now, that Cavassier Gold, man, I like that shit, man. It's good, man. It's smooth. You can drink that shit straight. Not that that's like an endorsement or anything like that. These motherfuckers ain't paying me for that. yeah, man. But so I got a chance to listen to episode 38 that I recorded last night, and it sounded like shit. It really did. It sounded like shit, and I refused to put that out. So, yeah, man, this is the second time that I'm recording episode 38. So this is episode 38A for that ass, man. But yeah, man, let's see. It's Easter season. It's Easter season. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. And you know what? Usually around this time, me and my daughter, we do like a daddy-daughter shopping thing. You know, I usually take her out to go shopping for Easter clothes or whatever. And it's a challenge. It's definitely a challenge for a single man to be with his 11-year-old daughter buying clothes when she has a mind of her own and her dad has something in his head. Like, see, here's the thing though, with me and my daughter, like, my daughter has always, even when she was young, my daughter has always had like a pretty decent sense of style. Like, it was been a couple times where I'm like, well, damn, you know what, I probably would have picked that for her too. Now, that's not saying a whole hell of a lot about me though, because my sense of style, especially when it comes to young girls, ain't that good at all. It's the only time that I wish my daughter was a boy, because I just dress him like me and shit. You know, like, yeah, boy, get his ass a t-shirt and some Levi's and some Jordans or something like that and keep it moving. But I can't do that with my baby girl. I can't do that. So what ended up happening, man, me, my daughter, and one of her little friends, we all went to the mall. And, you know, we walking through Macy's. And, like, you know, Macy's isn't necessarily the place to go when you don't have any idea what to get her. Nothing at all. I didn't have any idea what to, you know, what I wanted her to wear. She didn't want to wear, like a typical Easter dress. I don't even think her and her mom are going to church or anything like that. I think she just wants to have something nice to wear for Easter Sunday. So, you know, there wasn't any dress shopping going on. She said she wanted to wear something casual. So, okay, we go to Macy's, and I had no clue what the fuck to get her in Macy's. So we leave out of Macy's, and as we're walking we're walking in the mall, Forever 21 is dead ahead. So she's like, Daddy, can we go to Forever 21? I'm like, I guess, you know. I'm not sure if that's the most age-appropriate place to take your 11-year-old daughter to go get Easter clothes, but I'm like, I guess, you know. And so we go into Forever 21, man, and again, I'm in there like a deer caught in headlights. I don't know what the fuck to do. Like, I'm looking at all these clothes, all these options. You know, women with their clothing, man, it's almost like biochemistry or some fucking trigonometry or something, and it's a lot going on with female clothing. Okay? So, I didn't have my girlfriend with me. I didn't have my daughter's mother with me. So it was like, ah, shit. I don't know what to do. So what I did was I went over to one of the associates. Actually, it was a couple of associates that were on their way to the lunch break. And I just pretty much broke it down. So I'm like, look here, I got my baby here with me. She's 11 years old. She's looking for something casual to wear for Easter. Do you guys have any age-appropriate clothing for someone here her age and her size? Because my daughter's kind of tall. My daughter's like 5'2". Yeah, she's like 5'2". She's only 11, but she's 5'2". So, they pointed me to another associate that was actually working, because these chicks was on their way to their lunch break. They're like, fuck that, man, I gotta go eat. So they pointed me to another young lady who was working, and she actually hooked my daughter up, man. By the time I looked up, and they had about 5 or 6 options for my daughter. And, you know, she took the 5 or 6 back to the dressing room. She tried them on, found something really cute, really cute. I was impressed. I said, you know what? That's it right there. And so my daughter liked it. And yeah, it took all of like 2.5 hours for that shit to go down. But yeah, it was good. It was good. I'm glad that shit worked out. And it actually worked out pretty good for my pocket too. I was actually, you know, don't tell them that, but I was actually looking to spend a little bit more money than that. So I ended up just getting, yeah, man, it worked out. My daughter was happy with what she got, and I was happy with what, you know, my wallet was happy with what she got as well, man. And it worked out, man. I'm glad that, you know, I got that time to spend with her. It's always good. It's always good. Even though, like, I felt like a deer caught in the headlights, and I didn't know exactly what she was going to wear, but I knew what she wasn't, which was short shorts and a short skirt. That was not going to happen. But, yeah, man, that shit was interesting, man. It's always interesting. Now that she's getting older, too, I can pretty much, I know my veto card is going to have to come out at some point in time, though. I know it. Yeah, man. But, yeah, another thing, too, man. And this happened last night, too. Shout out to my friend Ursula for ruining Game of Thrones for me. That's another thing too. That shit threw off my whole vibe last night. Real talk. So I'm on Facebook, right? Because I'm recording a podcast, and it's an article that I want to talk to you guys about here on the podcast. And, you know, I'm kind of like just scrolling down, scrolling, trying to find this fucking article that I had just read maybe 10, 15 minutes earlier. And, you know, it slipped my mind that Game of Thrones was on last night. It really did. And then I see this picture, and a few people had like reposted this picture, but the first time I saw it was from my friend Ursula. Yeah, that shit is a crime, man. That shit should be a misdemeanor at least. All right, like, show spoiling is the only crime where the victim gets blamed. Where it's okay to blame the victim for being a victim in this instance. You know, it's like if you're on social media when there's a really popular show on and you're a fan of that show, you know, a lot of times, I guess it's just a common knowledge that you shouldn't be on social media if you watch this show because you know your people going to talk about it and everything else. But at the same time, it's like, goddamn, what if I forget? You self-important son of a bitches. Yeah, man. Like, and it's like, it's almost as if, like, you know, like, you know what, if you walk up to your friend, like, you know what, man, I hadn't seen that episode, man, you kind of ruined that for me. And the other motherfucker just looks like, man, fuck you, bitch, you shouldn't have been on Twitter anyway, goddammit. And that's pretty much, that's accepted, you know, that's, the victim is always blamed for their circumstances when it comes to show spoilers on social media, man. So, yeah, shout out to Brandon from Where's My 40 Acres and Daz and Derek and everybody, man, that was on that fucking status just like conversing about the shit, and I still hadn't seen the episode. Like, man, I need new friends. I need new friends. Y'all ain't shit. Real talk, man, y'all fucked that up for me, and it totally killed my vibe, man. So that was another instance where it's probably better that I'm doing the podcast now, because I'm not fucked up, and I've seen that episode of Game of Thrones, man. But, yeah, man, it's another thing too, man. Another thing happened to me. I'm at work today, and I thought about calling off work because my back's been killing me, but I'm at work, all right? And, you know, my role on my crew is pretty much I'm the backfield guy. I got this big ass bulldozer that I drive around all day, and I pretty much try to put dirt back in a hole all day. And it's not the easiest thing in the world. You know, a lot of people, like, they look at, like, when you dig a hole, and they're like, well, damn it, why is it like a hill on that hole? It's like, well, putting all the dirt back in ain't exactly easy as taking the dirt out. It just isn't, you know. And it's an art to it. It's definitely an art to it, and I'm still learning that art as far as, like, doing backfields, right? So I'm busy. I'm really fucking busy, and it's about, I want to say, 1 o'clock today. When there was about 3 little kids, I want to say they might have been 9, 10, 11, something like that, 3 kids, and I'm hearing somebody yell out like, excuse me, and I'm looking around and I don't see him. So I got my shovel and I'm right back to what I'm doing, and like, excuse me, and I'm looking around, and then I'm listening to a podcast too while I'm doing this shit. So like, I'm like, well, my head's on a swivel. And so finally see these kids. Once they get, you know, close enough to me, I see the kids, and one of them has like this really fucked up basketball. Like it's a flat basketball. It looked like it had been shredded almost, like ripped or something. Like it had been cut really bad. And the kid is like, "Yo, your friend bust my basketball." And you know, I'm at work right now and I'm kind of busy, but I don't want to just blow the kid off. You know, it's like, well, you know, which one of them was it? You know, which one of the guys, you know, busted basketball? And he's like, "The big white guy, the big one down the street, the white guy, the big white guy." And I said, "Okay, I'll talk to him about it. Maybe they'll get you another ball." All right. Now, I'm pretty sure that wasn't the best thing for me to tell this kid, because now all he's heard is, "You're going to get another ball." So, he was like, "Yeah, y'all need to give me another ball." I said, "Well, again, I'll talk to him. We'll find out whether or not they're going to get you another ball." Then he's like, "Yeah, you need to give me the money." And I said, and before I knew it, I turned to the little boy. I'm like, "Man, I'm not giving you shit." And it wasn't intentional or anything like that. I just looked up and I just told this boy, "I'm not giving you shit." And I had to catch myself. It was like, damn, I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to cuss this kid out. But what I told him was like, "Look, I'm not going to give you anything. But what I will do is talk to the guy who bust your basketball to find out whether or not they can, you know, replace your basketball. I didn't do it. I'm not replacing it. I'll talk to the guy who did it. All right." So he goes back down the street. And then he comes back. He's like, "Yeah, but y'all need to give me some money." And I'm like, "Look, little dude, you're not about to pocket check me. I'm getting checked. I'm getting pocket checked by a 10-year-old. a 10-year-old that's not my child." Like, if he could have, he certainly would have went over, like, come close to me to try to pat me down. Real talk, to see if I had anything on me. Like, "What you got, nigga? What you got?" You know? So, yeah, man. It's just one of those weird things. One of those few little things that happen to me all the time, man. Just being out amongst the people while I'm working, man. But, yeah. I'm actually kind of glad that episode 38 turned out shit last night. And the only reason I say that is because if it hadn't turned out to shit last night, I wouldn't be able to talk to you guys about this Mimi and Nico sex tape. Yeah, there's a sex tape. Okay. For those of you who are unfamiliar with who Nico and Mimi Faust are, they're two cast members from the show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. And Love and Hip Hop Atlanta is a really popular show on VH1. And if you're listening to me, I'm pretty sure you're probably familiar with Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I don't know pretty much anybody who isn't familiar with the show. I mean, they might not watch it. They probably, you know, it's trash TV, but it's you know, it's one of my guilty pleasures. You know, I watch it, and it gives me shit to talk about here on the show. But yeah, Mimi and her boyfriend Nico, which is sort of like I want to say like a Stevie J clone, because both of those guys act so much alike, man. Both of them they come across like as some slimy, kind, you know, cocky dudes, you know what I'm saying? But like women, or you know, the women on the show pretend, you know, particularly find themselves like can't leaving these guys alone. So you know, there's the sex tape or whatever. But here's the thing with that. Now, over the course of the show, we've seen the storyline play out with Stevie J and Mimi, and a lot of it has been about their relationship and how bad Stevie J treats Mimi, or just the disrespect that he shows towards her. And he has shown some blatant disrespects as far as like trying to incorporate a relationship with her and a woman that she doesn't like. When it came to buying her a gift under the assumption that this gift giving was going to facilitate her giving him sexual favors. Basically treating his daughter's mom like a hoe, you know, pretty much. And so, you know, a lot has been made about, you know, the respect that Stevie J shows Mimi, or the lack of that Stevie J shows Mimi. And then Mimi goes out and does a sex tape with Nico. And this isn't like, you know, some unauthorized thing. Like, Nico and Mimi both signed off with Vivid Entertainment to release a sex tape. Now, I heard about the sex tape when I got home from work. My girlfriend hit me up and asked me had I been on Instagram today, and I hadn't been on Instagram at all. And apparently, like, a lot of people have been posting videos or like little clips of, you know, 15 second snippets of the sex tape. And the one that my girlfriend showed me was, it was real blurry. I didn't really, it was, you could tell what the hell was going on, but it was real blurry. It wasn't real high quality. So, of course, you know, get on the internet and you search Mimi's name, and the first thing that pops up was a sex tape. So I hit the link to, what was that, World Star Hip Hop Uncut, and they got like a 45 second promo for the video. And yeah, man, it goes down. It definitely goes down. Shout out to that strong ass shower curtain. I'm pretty sure Home Depot will probably run out of those motherfuckers by tomorrow because everybody's trying to go get one. Yeah, man, it goes down in that video, man. Mimi looks like she's well versed in that bedroom, man. Good Jesus. it goes down, man. And so, but the thing of it is, man, is this, man, when we talk about respect and we talk about the respect that Stevie J is to show Mimi, I think she really, really lost. She lost some of that, you know, or at least the command for it. I think she lost a bit of it, not because of the sex tape in and of itself, but the fact that you put this out for public consumption and you're looking to profit from it. You know, I know a lot of people. I mean, I know a lot of people who have done sex tapes and they do it for the privacy and their own, you know, the privacy of their own enjoyment. You know, there's nothing that they plan on putting out. And if somebody else, like, say, for instance, if someone leaked the tape, say, you know, the first thing I thought was Nico leaked the tape, you know, to get back at maybe Stevie J or something like that. And that might be one of the storylines in the show Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Let's not forget that that show is coming back in a few weeks. So trust and believe, I think the timing of this announcement and the leak of the promos and everything else is not by accident. It's not by accident at all. Excuse me. So, yeah, man, we talk about the respect factor. Yeah. You know, she was a lot, you know, she was concerned about her daughter, seeing how Stevie J treated her on television and the world seeing her, how Stevie J treated her on television. And then she subjects herself to more ridicule and more scorn by putting out this sex tape. Now, you know, the promo that I saw for Love and Hip Hop season 3, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta season 3, they talk about the sex tape and her trepidation of the sex tape being out. And you know, I don't know if I necessarily buy it. Like, especially if you're so worried about the sex tape coming out, you can suit up, you know, to block the shit coming out. You know, you could sue to block it. And if anybody, you know, go ahead and publish this shit, you know, sue the pants off the asses if that's what you don't want out here. You know, but they signed a deal. They signed a deal with Vivid Entertainment. So both of them plan to profit from that. Well, another thing, too, with that, though, like, who the fuck is out here buying porn anymore? Like, really? Who's buying porn? Like, as many sites as there are now with, like, free porn and shit, like, I can't tell you the last time I bought a porn, man. Like, I think it might have been, what, 01, 02. I was still living at home and shit, you know, and I had a laptop, you know, and, you know, because I couldn't watch the shit on grandma TV. You know, that shit just wasn't going down. But, yeah, man, who the fuck's buying porn out here now? I don't know. That shit will be on X Videos the week it comes out. Trust and believe somebody's going to have that shit on X Videos or YouTube or YouPorn or rue.com. I'm real versed in a lot of these fucking sites. Yeah. Yeah, man. But no, yeah, just that whole respect thing, man. Like, she's kind of, you know, I don't want to say she's disrespected herself just, you know, just for doing a sex tape, but I think the fact that it's being put out for public consumption and she's looking to capitalize on it, that I don't know, I think that cheapens the argument that she had with Stevie J as far as the respect that he is to, you know, to show her when she's showing her, you know, she's showing that she's willing to, you know, quote unquote, whore herself out. Now, it may be, of course, with somebody that she loves. I mean, she may indeed love this dude, but I'm just going by the dictionary definition of whore or whatever, man. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't want anybody to misconstrue anything that I'm saying. But I just think that the argument that she had as far as the respect that Stevie J is to, you know, and again, don't get me wrong, that's the mother of his child. He should never disrespect her, but I just think this kind of weakens her argument a bit. That's all I'm saying. I think this weakens her argument a bit when she talks about the public image of how her child's father treats her, and then she goes out and puts this type of thing out. You know, and people are making a big fuss about her being 45 and everything. Who gives a fuck? She looks good for 45. You know, I don't think this is probably like the smartest decision to make at 45, but you know, who the fuck am I but another guy on the internet with an opinion? But yeah, man, I my thing was, after seeing it and after finding out that it was, you know, they both signed off on it, so it wasn't just Nico leaking the tape to gain some type of notoriety off of it. Both of them signed off on it. The Love and Hip Hop Atlanta show comes back in a couple weeks. Yeah, man, I just don't think that was coincidence that the announcement and the viewing of these promos around this time were coincidental. I doubt that very seriously. And you know, just speaking on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, I mean, of course, like I said earlier, they were talking about this in the promos that I saw about it earlier. They also talked about, you know, Benzino being shot and Stevie J being in the hospital with Benzino and everything else. One thing about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, it is like just Love and Hip Hop period. It is so well produced. It's so well produced. Is produced to the point of me not believing a lot of shit about, you know, the reality of the reality show. You know, just some of the stylized shots that they use and some of the scenes that they set up, you know, just the way that they film it. Not necessarily the actual action that's going on. It's just the way that they film it. I don't necessarily believe it. You know, it comes across like a movie. You know, it's like, I don't, you know, they did this shit like... It's one of those things, like you see somebody going to like the vanity in the bathroom and they're looking longingly in the mirror, and then they go down and they, you know, they turn on the water faucet and the water comes out slow. It's like a real slow shot, and then they throw the water up in their face. It's like, come on, man. Don't nobody do that shit in real life, man. Stop that. Nobody does that, you know. But again, I do plan on watching. I do plan on watching. I know a lot of you guys plan on watching too, man. Yeah, there's another thing too. There's another thing I want to talk to you guys about, and it's another controversial thing. Although it's probably kind of died down. It's been a couple weeks since this shit came out, and I know it's been a couple weeks since I came out with a podcast, but I did want to speak to this. There was a video that came out by this young dude. I think he's a Houston rapper. I think he comes out of Houston. I'm not particularly sure about his origins, but his name is Young Fly Red. And people are touting him as the first openly gay rapper. Okay, now I'm pretty sure he probably isn't the first. He's open about him being gay, so he probably is the first. But this song that he put out, Throw That Boy Pussy, and there's a really raunchy video that came out for Throw That Boy Pussy that's on YouTube. And yeah, I saw the video, and you know, because you know, it's part of what I do, you know what I'm saying? Like, if I want to speak to a lot of things, I kind of don't want to know what the hell I'm talking about. So I took a look at the video, and a lot of the uproar was about what, you know, the fact that, you know, people, you know, the first reaction I saw was a lot, you know, it was of course the homophobic reaction, you know. And then of course you saw a lot of people talking about the ever-present gay agenda that's being pushed down our throats. And, you know, one of the things that I took away from that video was that he wasn't doing or saying anything differently than most of your mainstream hip hop rappers are talking about. He wasn't doing anything different. He had dancers dancing behind him, shaking ass. Your mainstream artists do that all the time. The difference is he had a lot of dudes dancing, shaking their ass behind him. And he was talking about getting these dudes asses. That was the difference. Everything he said, you can just suppose that with a female and you would get practically the same fucking song. Now, you know, of course, you know, people talk about a supposed gay agenda. I don't believe that shit, man. You know, like, and the guy even said, you know, of course, people will say, well, of course, that's what he gonna say. But the dude put the shit out on YouTube, and he explained the reason why he did a video for it was because he's a gay rapper. The shit was meant to be played at gay clubs, and that was, you know, putting it out on YouTube was a way for them to kind of grab it and play it on the jumbo, you know, the jumbo screens that are typically at gay clubs. It wasn't necessarily meant for, mainstream consumption, so to speak. It was, he had a targeted audience that video was aimed for. And, you know, those people will enjoy that video. You know, it might not be it's definitely not my cup of tea. I mean, if anything, you know, the only thing I could really criticize him on was the fact that I think he was a whack rapper. But outside of that, he wasn't doing much of anything different than most of your rappers out here today. And it was just so funny to me to see, like, you know, even people that whom would say that they were pro, you know, like, well, not necessarily pro gay rights or whatever, but just, you know, people who claim to be sympathetic to the situation that gay people go through, a lot of them were like recoiling back and saying that the world was coming to an end and all. I've seen a lot of that shit. I'm like, well, damn, like, you know, and this was from people whom you would think would be a little bit more tolerant to the plight of gay people or whatnot. And like I said, man, like, the video wasn't anything. It wasn't anything different that you would see, like, say, for instance, on BET Uncut. You know, Tip Drill was probably one of the most misogynistic videos ever made. And of course, it was a lot of hoopla about Tip Drill, but the shit was still made. And we had special after special of Nelly defending himself for making that video and everything else. I remember, what was that? I think it was Spellman that were like protesting Nelly when he was trying to, you know, raise funds for, I believe it was for bone marrow for his sister. I mean, so it wasn't that video came out and there wasn't any controversy behind it. It's just that, I just didn't see anything that this dude, Young Fly Red, was doing that was different than any other mainstream major artist was doing when it came to rap and hip hop. I just didn't see anything different outside, of course, the obvious was the fact that he had dudes shaking their asses and everything else. That's what he's into. He's rapping about what he's into. And shit, it wasn't meant for us. You know what I mean? So, again, just like I would say with Michael Sam and everything else, man, do your thing, dude. You know, do your thing. It ain't got shit to do with me, man. Enjoy your life, man. Enjoy your life. Do what the fuck it is you want to do, so long as you ain't hurt nobody else, man. All right. But yeah, man, I'm going to take a real quick break. But when I get back, I got some emails to read, and I got my iTunes and my Stitcher reviews to read as well before we head on out. So stick around.
Balling each and every day. Asian girls everywhere. You see LA. You see me, babe. You see me, babe. Asian girls everywhere. You see LA. I'm on my ish. Call it. I watch these haters take their shots like they were alcoholics. What is he wearing? Somebody jack that fool Steve. If I'm a faggot, spell it right. I got way more than 2 G's. Nigga, I'm amazing. I'm a phenom. I'm assassin. I'ma kill y'all. I'ma save my massive. I'm a Makusan. This shit's closed down cause I ball too hard. And I'm coming on her face. Have I gone too far? I don't know. Who cares? I don't love that broad. And it's funny how these fake niggas always act hard. I'm a black star in a black car with a black car. They wanna knock me out. They trying, nigga. Realest motherfucker in the game like Tron, nigga. Forget these white girls. I need some variation. Especially if she very Asian. She got an ugly friend. Roll solo. Can I stay at your place? No hobo. Not my fault, man. These ladies love me. She's an overachiever. Cause all she do is succeed.
I'm on my ballin' each and every day. Asian girls everywhere. You see LA. You see me, babe. You see me, babe. Asian girls everywhere. You see LA.
Send me naked pics, I'm on Tumblr that. I'm the shit, been the shit, fuck a humble brag. Yeah, we pushing that, and a pussycat. I got swag out my ass, so I'm using that. Text them with the
out of your mind. Hopefully she'll give me some or some Rosie Jones, man. Hoes is hoes is hoes, man. Racks on racks on racks, man. All I got is tracks, man. Sorry for my accent, but I've been practicing. Everywhere you go, niggas blasting that Gambino. Niggas be like, yeah, no. Bitches be like, yeah, no. Met this fly Latino. Hope that she 18, no. Is she not? I say that I got deep throat and Negro.
I'm on my ballin' each and every day. Asian girls everywhere. You see LA. You see me, babe. You see me, babe. Asian girls everywhere.
You see LA.
Told me I was shit, but that shit couldn't stop me. A nigga still hungry. Black Kobayashi. When I talk about you, I hear a fool like Horton. Well, I was born for this shit. You a rapping abortion. Can we hear the N-word one day and not get upset? Can we try something new and not be suspect? I don't really know. You fucked up bad. You don't wanna see my dudes when they get mad. I got a bunch of jackanapes in the back of me that'll lacerate anyone in the back of a matinee and laugh when I'm masturbating all over your beaten body. Sick boy forever, that's a suburban Illuminati. No, nigga, yeah, we never stop. No period like menopause. No period like, oh shit. Am I the only one you sleeping with? Am I the only one you sleep with?
Yeah, man. You can't tell me that shit didn't beat, man. That shit beat hard as hell, son. I need a system in my car, real talk. Well, either that, I just need a brand new fucking car. I think I'm gonna do that sometime this year, try to buy a new whip. But yeah, man, that was Childish Gambino with You See Me off of that Camp joint, man. So check that shit out if and when you get a chance, man. That shit go hard, man. And that's not even like some new shit. That's some old shit that he had like a while ago. So yeah, man, Childish Gambino was the shit, man. I fucks with that. I fucks with that hard. But now it's the time for me to get to some emails, man. Get to see these emails. This is the listener feedback portion of the show, and this is where I respond to you guys and let your voice be heard here on the show, man. So here it goes. I'm gonna go through these emails first. And the first email I got was from a guy named Reggie. And the homie Reggie says, hey, Mr. Span, just want to send you a shout out of support your way on the loss of your dad. I know it can be a tough thing to deal with, even though it didn't seem like the two of you were really that close. I think you handled that situation the best anybody really could. And even though you didn't get along with your father, he's probably looking down on you, proud as hell of the man that you've become. Keep your head up, dude. Reggie from Baltimore. Well, you know what? Thanks a lot, Reggie. I really do appreciate that, man. Real talk, man. I had to come to a, you know, after a while, man, I just came to the realization that our relationship was what it was, and it was gonna be what it was. You know, it's a growing process, man. It's just all about, you know, just trying to be, you know, the best person that I can be. You know, I'm 33 years old and both my parents are gone. So at the end of the day, man, like I just try to be, you know, I want my daughter to be proud to say that I was her daddy. You know, that's the kind of thing that's where I'm at with it. Now, I want my daughter to say that, you know, she was glad that she got me for pops, and that's pretty much where I'm at with it right now, man. As far as, you know, a legacy or anything like that, I just want my daughter to be happy with, you know, who she got, you know, stuck with as a daddy, man. So, but I really do appreciate your words of condolences, brother. Real talk, thank you a lot. And I got another email from a sister named Katrina, and Katrina says, Mr. Span, your story was so touching. The fact that you actually pursued relationships with your sisters and they actually came to pass is an inspiring story. Too bad your father didn't see fit for it to happen during his life. Hopefully you guys stay in touch and progress that relationship. I'm rooting for y'all. Thank you. Thank you, Katrina. You know what? I sincerely hope so, too. The last episode that I put out, you know, I sent that out to my brothers and my sisters. My sister Latrice sent me a text message right after she got finished listening to that, and you know, she let me know how she felt. You know, she told me she loved me, so, and I love her too. You know what I'm saying? And it's the funny thing about it is that we didn't grow up with one another, and the time that we got to spend with each other it just felt so natural, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it wasn't, I guess it kind of helped that we had a chance to talk and have a few conversations about things beforehand. But yeah, man, it just felt natural. You know, it felt like that's what it was supposed to be all along. And that was my older sister. So, yeah, man, I really do appreciate that, Katrina. Thank you so much. And let's see. Clarence sends me an email. He says, Mrs. Span, I was listening to Tariq Nasheed's podcast, and he said that he thinks black folks should get reparations. What are your thoughts on that? Well, I'm not necessarily, here's the thing. Like, I've spoken on this before. I don't know if I've spoken on this on the podcast, but as far as reparations are concerned, I don't think that black folks are going to get reparations. But even if we were to get reparations, I think they would probably come in the form of, or probably both of these at the same time, maybe a tax exemption for black folks, where we don't have to pay any type of income taxes or whatever. We can, you know, pool those funds together, and free college educations for, you know, X amount of years. I'm not, you know, exactly sure as to how long that type of program would, I'm not sure how long the type of program would, you know, would last or whatever. But I think that, you know, not only should we have the capital, you know, to put us on par, but we should also have the education to better enforce and better use the capital that's being, you know, forwarded our way. So, yeah, I think that's where I'm at with it. I think I heard that podcast. And I listened to Tariq Nasheed. You know, don't get me wrong. I listened to Tariq Nasheed. I think I heard that podcast. And I don't think he necessarily agreed with what I'm talking about. But I think those are the most realistic things that we can look forward to if reparations were ever to be put out, you know, for black folks. Here's the thing, though. When it comes to reparations, man, even when, like, it come, you know, like, a lot of people, you know, they talk about the Jews, and, you know, the Jews got reparations for the Holocaust, but it wasn't as if, like, the German government just cut checks to everybody. No, they cut checks to the descendants, the direct descendants of those who suffered during the Holocaust, and for those who didn't have any direct descendants or they were unknown, that money went to Israel, the government of Israel. Like, they didn't just cut checks to everybody. And that's where, you know, I think a lot of people get this whole thing about the reparations argument messed up, is that, yo, like, we so far removed from being direct descendants, a lot of us don't even know who we directly descend from, you know. And then you'll have, you know, there's some white folks that that descend from us also, that can lay a claim to that, you know, to the reparations or whatever. So there's a lot of confusion with that. And, you know, of course, a lot of people are going to have, you know, they're going to debate endlessly about it. But honestly, I don't see reparations coming. But if they were to come, I believe they would take on those forms, man. So I hope I answered that question for you sufficiently, Clarence, man. Thanks you for hitting me up, and I hope to hear from you again, brother. Real talk. And the last email I got was from a brother named Eric. And Eric says, yo, what's up, Span? What happened to the $100 challenges, man? Oh, shit. How can I get some of that bread? No, seriously, nigga, I need $100, man. Hook me up. Oh, shit. I'm joking with you, fam, but I'm kind of not. Are you doing that anymore? You know what, Eric, man? I am doing the $100 challenges, and I got one for you. This is going to be a $100 challenge podcast, so I hope you guys are really listening. The first person to tell me what hotel I said I stayed at during the Chris Brown Drake fight in New York gets $100. What hotel did I have a suite in when I was in the bar with Chris Brown and Drake during that fight? What hotel did I stay at? Now, when it comes to the $100 span challenges, this is what it is. You have to listen to the Span Report podcast. This is to reward all of the people who stuck with me listening to this show. All of the people who, you know, are just, even if you're just jumping in, it'll give you an incentive to go back and listen to some of these older shows so that you would have a shot at these $100 challenges. So yeah, if you can go back and tell me what hotel I had a suite in during the Drake Chris Brown fight, you win $100. You got to be the first person to get this to me, though. You got to be the first. So the first person to tell me what hotel I had a suite at during the Drake Chris Brown fight wins $100. All right. So I hope you get your shot at that $100, Eric. It's hot money, man. You better get it, man. Yeah, man. And you know what? Like I said, that's it for my emails. So we got the $100 challenge going out there. So this is a $100 podcast. Somebody got a chance to win $100 from Span. If they get that to me, you got to be the first person to do it, though. You got to be the first. But let me get to my iTunes review people. You guys helped the show grow, and I can't thank you enough, because when I went back and I looked at iTunes, I didn't have iTunes installed on my computer at all. I don't have any Apple products. My girlfriend uses Apple products. I don't. And I put it on here specifically so that I can read you guys' reviews. And one of the things that surprised me the most, or I guess I shouldn't say surprised, but I guess humbled me the most, was the fact that everybody left a 5-star review. Thank you so much. And so I'm gonna read some of these reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. The first review that I'm going to read is from Shells B's, and Shells B's says she loves the show. 5 stars. Thank you, Shells B's. And she says, hey, I'm a new listener coming from the Haterazzi show, and I'm totally in love with your show. Shout out to Good Brothers putting each other on to podcast. Thank you, and keep up the good work. Thank you so much for the 5-star review, Shells B's. And yeah, man, shout out to my homie Mr. Gates over at the Haterazzi radio show, man, the brother that put me on. Yeah, man, go check out his show. My man been back on his grind. Go out and check out the Haterazzi radio show. Get your laugh and your learn on, man. You love it. Another 5-star review, and this one's from the homie Dynology 13, and Dynology says, shouts out to Mrs. Span, 5 stars. Thank you, my brother. And he goes on to say, good podcast, highly recommended. Thank you again, man. And that's another thing too, like, if you're going to leave a review, you don't have to leave a long one. My man did his job, you know, he looked out for your man Spanny. 5-star review, let people know to look at the Span Report, take a listen to the Span Report, and they might, you know, take a listen and like it as well. So thank you again, Dynology, man. The next review I got is from Rude Boy M. I've heard from Rude Boy M as a lot lately, and Rude Boy M left a 5-star review, and it's simply nice. 5 stars. Thank you, my brother. It says very nice. Keep it up. I will continue to put out the Span Report podcast as long as you people continue to listen to me, brother. Thank you so much for leaving that 5-star review, man. I got another one from my homie Daz, man. Daz 12, and he says, Span's got a gun. 5 stars, man. From the mean streets of Detroit comes the brother that's super bad. They say Span is a bad mother. Shut your mouth. Just talking about Span. But nah, it's a great show. You should give it a listen. I wonder if Mr. Gates will ever stop by. Now that would be super fly. I'll stop now. And I did get a chance to get the homie Mr. Gates on the show, man. As a matter of fact, the homie Daz hit me up, and he asked me about this when I had Mr. Gates on the show, man. I got him on the show. And you know what? Me and Gates talk a little. You know, we talk occasionally on the phone. Try to get the brother back on here, man. See what's, you know, just try to pick his brain on what else is going, you know, coming down the pike with the Haterazzi radio show, man. And I do plan on having a lot more guests on the show later on down the line. But thank you again, homie Daz, man, for the 5-star review. And I got another one from Floyd Kane, and it's 5 stars. Thank you again, Floyd Kane. And it's a yes, sir. What up, man? Love the show, bruh. Keep it up. I will. I definitely will, man. I appreciate you coming through and leaving that 5-star review, man. Thank you so much for helping spread the word about the Span Report podcast. I can't thank you guys enough for continuing to put up with me, man. You know, I know consistency has been a bitch with Mrs. Spam, man, but I continue to try to talk to you guys about things that I have some knowledge of and things that I can relate to you guys. So that's really my thing, man. But I really do appreciate each and every last one of you guys who leave a 5-star review. and let others know how much you're enjoying the Spam Report podcast. I can't thank you enough, man. I really can't. I can't. And I know it may sound like over effusive as far as like these things, but really it really does help the show, man. I really do thank you guys. But yeah, man, it's about time for me to get out of here, man. It's like 12:11. I gotta be up at like 5:45 in the morning so I can get my ass back out to the hood and look at this little 10-year-old boy again who might pocket check my ass tomorrow morning, man. So yeah, man. Yeah. I did this show and I wasn't drunk this time. And I'm giving away $100. So yeah, thank you again for checking out the Spam Report podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it, and I will talk to you guys again real soon. Outside of that, man, talk to you guys later. Peace. Yeah.
These other girls don't matter, cause shawty, she be the mac lips are ooh.